Øystein, how are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty fine. How about you?
I'm good. I'm good, thanks. Thanks
Awesome.
so much for your time in joining me. It's such a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me. And yeah.
You're the third Norwegian band we've had on the podcast, so we're slowly creeping up the numbers on the Norwegians,
All right, that's cool.
How's things in Norway? What's the weather? Is it cold or?
Yeah, we had a couple of days with kind of light spring with the sun, and there was some kind of spring feeling in the air, but now it's basically back to 5 degrees and rain.
Oh, nice. So it's pretty similar to here in Ireland. It's just rain. Where are you in Bergen?
I'm located. It not in town, but outside. Yeah, kind of the outskirts of Bergen. In the countryside. So I live, my closest neighbor is a mountain basically. So
Oh, cool.
yeah, kind of
It's
that kind of yeah.
on my bucket list to do Bergen. I've been to Oslo twice, and I'm going twice again this year, but I want to get the train from Oslo up to Bergen and see all the mountains and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, you should really do, because that's a beautiful train. I mean, that's probably one of the nicest train trips in the world, I would argue. It's really beautiful, especially if you're lucky with the weather. And that is not always the case in Norway, but if there it's the weather is nice and stuff, that trip is just amazing.
Yeah, it's on my bucket list, so I'm going to do it in the next couple of years for sure. So the new album Fall's been out just about a month now, huh?
Yeah, I haven't been counting, but I guess something like that,
Think it was
yes.
around 22nd or something like that. Look, this album is incredible. Like, I have not been this blown away by an album for a long time when I heard it, and it wasn't an instant connection, I'm not going to lie. It was a few listens, but the more I listen to it, the more I just fall more in love with it. Like, as the artist who's created this piece of work, how proud are you of it?
Well, when when you're talking like that, I'm really proud, of course. It's yeah, I kind of agree. I mean, I'm really proud of this album, musically speaking. I think we achieved the goals we set and all that. And it's to me, this is a whole this whole thing, my whole career is kind of a musical journey. So this is a kind of another, I don't know, milestone or whatever you should call it in my career. And we always strive to do the best we possibly can. We always try to challenge ourselves musically and production wise and basically everything in between. So yeah, I'm pretty happy. Actually quite damn happy, but I've always had this notion of pushing further. So I'm already on the next album, mentally speaking, and I'm already kind of joking to the label and stuff that yeah, it's a cool one, but the next one will be much better. And let's see.
I mean, like True North came out in 2019, I think, and like I love that record. But as I look at the track listing of Fall, you've got the opening summits, Nordic Anthem, Moon, Stars Ablaze, Unraveling, and the Northwood as an ending track. There's not a dud track on this record. It's so perfectly woven together, like a journey. And I just think it's such a good record that I know you're obviously very proud of, but just congratulations on creating something that has gone down a storm. I mean, I don't know if you go on social media or and look at the comments and stuff, but it blew up, and loads of people are now getting on the bandwagon of listening to this album.
Oh yeah. Of course, we follow and we get some promotional reports from label and all that. So we kind of informed about the situation, of course. And of course, we are curious about it, but after a couple of weeks, we kind of maybe start to fall a little bit off the wagon, because we need to, we have a concert in a couple of weeks and a new set. So we it's for us, it's a matter of kind of looking forward and pushing forward in terms of the career, in terms of the music and the band and everything. So, but of course, it has been such a blast. I've done probably 200 interviews the last couple of months. And you know, there has been so much love about this album, so much, you know, great words, and so much in sometimes a little bit individual perspective on things. You know, to me, it's really interesting after all this year to kind of it sometimes it's a bit of a kind of a hobby on my I have on the side, kind of having a social kind of study on things, you know, what, how and why do people react on different songs and stuff like that. To me, all this is very interesting on a very personal level. Back in the day when I did my bachelor degree, I did that a kind of about music therapy, but more kind of trying how to use music therapy, you know, in a kind of a scientific way, in a sense. That's many, many moons ago. But I still have this one thing is the musical side of it, the experience, you know, the creativity of it. But I also find it very interesting as a social phenomenon, you know, how people react on music, how people, and that includes me by all means. I mean, and how people, you know, how it kind of amazes me, especially on my older years, you know, how powerful music is, you know, and the reach of music all over the planet. You know, we are traveling to, you know, South America and Eastern Europe and all over the place, and even though we come from different, you know, cultural, different religious perspective on things, all that, you know, we can kind of meet up on music in a sense, and that's kind of such a unifying, powerful, I don't know, force in a sense that I think that I actually think is more needed now than ever in a way, you know. People have challenged me many times, you know, yeah, but the soccer game is the same. No, it's not, because in a soccer game you have a winner and you have a loser. That's a fundamental of a war, you know. So I think that music, I would say, is a very special art form in that sense, you know, and on the social construct of it as well. Of course, but first and foremost, of course, it's a sensory experience, music and all that. But I also find this social side of music interesting.
It's so true though, because we talk about this a lot, you know, in the metal genre or scene, whatever you want to call it. So many people talk about the positivity coming out of metal music. And, you know, you could have one day where you're at the gym and you want to listen to Pantera, for argument's sake, to get you pumped. Or you could be having a bit of a down day and you want to listen to something a bit more melodic. There's always something there that people will find. And I think particularly on this album, it ebbs and flows so nicely. Like there's the soaring vocals are just stunning. But then also with the growls, whatever you want to call them, there's just something in there, and it's such a well balanced the way the album's put together.
I agree, and I have to get a lot of credits to Jens Berggren in Sweden for you know, mixing the album and really, really understanding the band. Of course, we talk up front and I do my demos, which is sounding pretty much in the same direction, but you know, he did the final, you know, the sophistication of the whole thing is just mind-blowing in my opinion. I do a lot of sound myself. I have a high-end studio and stuff, but his ability to just make music work, I don't know how to say it, but it's just mind blowing. I do mastering myself, I do mixing myself, but his level of you know, I don't know, precision of how to listen to music, how to, you know, all these things is just beyond my mind, really. I mean, he's amazing. So it's yeah, I feel very fortunate to be able to work with all these great guys, you know, whether it's being the great vocalists or, you know, to make Jens in Sweden or, you know, Aileron with the cover. It's a huge privilege for me, to be honest. So it's amazing.
I mean, Jens is held in very high regard as you know, mixing and mastering, as you were saying. When you send it off to him, how much back and forth is there between the two of you? Or are you sort of fairly comfortable to say, Jens, this is what we want, and he pretty much sends it back almost perfect?
It's we don't talk that much, to be honest. I mean, I think that at this point, I mean, this was the fourth album we did together, and I think he understands the music, and I feel comfortable about that. So I basically just my just did my demos, and I spent shitloads of time on them, finding, you know, all the effects, all the details, all the layers, and all the, you know, effects of mountains, rumbling mountains, stuff like that, and adding to the kind of to the equation in a sense. And then I do my mixes that kind of is on a different level, I would say, but I don't bother really, because in the creative process, it's all about, you know, extracting the good stuff, you know. It's not about making it shine in a sense, in that way. So I don't put much energy into that, but I did my demos. I sent the demos over to him, and I basically sent him pretty much a little note, a couple of notes on each song, maybe, and some general notes that, you know. And this time around, actually, it was quite easy. Jens, I want this to sound like the nature, the mountain. That's it all, kind of thing. And I, you know, that is some of the beauty working with such talented people, is the fact that you don't need to talk it to death in a sense, you know. You can just, you know, I want this to sound like a mountain, and you know, he knows his way around that. And I would say the same thing with Elrond doing the cover. I mean, we didn't talk that much, but you know, from the demos, from the lyrics I sent him, and all that, you know, he just came to this conclusion in a sense, you know. And it's just amazing.
Which obviously makes your job a lot easier because you don't have to be worrying about any of that stuff. And the album, obviously, True North was in 2019, and then obviously the world came to a standstill due to COVID. And I'm wondering, for yourselves, was COVID sort of a blessing or a curse? Now, obviously, it devastated economies and people died from it, so I'm not saying in that effect, but I'm wondering from a band's point of view, because on the one hand you stopped touring, you couldn't tour, but on the other hand is you now had almost 3 years to sit and write this album. So from your perspective, what did you think?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it just, you know, we were supposed to go on pretty much our world tour just a few days after. We were supposed to fly out to US, doing a US tour with Rotting Christ. I think we, you know, everything closed down on Thursday, and we were supposed to travel out on Monday or something like that, you know. So the whole thing for us, of course, the first couple of days was pretty much a shell shock, you know. You know, what's going on? You know, what's up? You know, and we, of course, we lost shitloads of money. I mean, we stopped counting on something like 400,000 euros, something like that.
What?
But yeah. I mean, me not in the sense that we lost them out the window, but in expected income and all that, you know. So it was heavy, of course. But all that said, I mean, at least I, in my life, and I think also the other guys, we share some of the same mentality, I guess. You know, we have an ability to turn, you know, changes and bad things around to something good, and that's all has always been. Whether that's been a lineup change or difficulties or, you know, whatnot, I've always tried to somehow make all these downs or bad things happening to, you know, to fuel something good in a sense. So yeah, I have to admit that we didn't really sit down to write a new album or plan too much, because we felt that True North, in a sense, was unfulfilled, in the sense that we really wanted to get back on the road after the corona and do the tours we were supposed to do, and we pretty much did, actually. So we was actually keeping everything musically in a sense on ice. I have a studio, so we did some project, me and Lars did some White Void album release, and we did a Black Void, which like a yin and yang thing he did back then, and I did a bunch of mastering and stuff like that. So I kind of turned around and did a lot of studio work and building myself up a little bit there, and nerding away, so to speak, spending the time getting into this whole production thing, even more. But then we did, you know, after Corona, we did the US tour with Rotting Christ, and we did a bunch of festivals, and then we did a European tour with Moonspell and Insomnium, and during that tour we kind of decided, okay, this is it. Now we have done what we was, planned to do. So let's, when you get back home, we start out with a new album and stuff, and then we started to plan, the whole procedure of recording and timing and all that stuff. Yeah.
Okay. I was under the impression that the new album was sort of recorded in that corona sort of
No,
time.
quite honestly, no, not really. Everything was recorded. I think we in our world, it's pretty short of time actually. But I think we started to record. I don't think we spent more than 10 months or something like that recording
Okay.
from start to finish. I mean, something like that. So of course, I always write music. I have to be honest. I always from time to time I sit down with my guitars and play some riffs and record them. And but I didn't really start to build these musical houses, so to speak, before after this European tour. I had some ideas. I always have a lot of mental maps of songs, if that makes any sense. It's a weird thing I have, but I have some shapes and forms and a kind of mental mapping of songs I want to do, and all even album and yeah, it's kind of complicated, but so I had everything in my mind, so to say, but you'd have at some point you have to sit down and actually, make this thing happen in a sense, whether it's playing a riff, recording a riff, or going to Oslo to record drums, or yeah, whatnot.
That leads me nicely onto my next question, actually, is because the songs are they're fairly lengthy compared to a normal sort of metal album, if you will. There's lots of complexity in there, changes, time changes, etc. So, how long would you spend on writing a song, for example? And obviously, some would be quicker than others; some just fall into place. But are you a bit of a person who would you say a perfectionist that? Until that song is completely how you have it in your mind, it's not finished.
You should probably ask my wife, I guess. But yeah, yeah, I'm guess I'm a perfectionist. I'm a worker. I've always been working like my father. I used to say about my father that, when he was not working, he was sleeping basically, and that was quite true. And I guess I'm a little bit of the same kind of caliber, I guess. I'm always doing something. If I sit lean back or sit in my couch, I get grumpy after 30 minutes. So it's in my blood. But when it comes to writing songs, at this point, I've done this forever. I've done it my whole life. I kind of just do it. When people ask me, I'm a little bit, I don't know. I have to think about it. It kind of just happens. But of course, I sit in my studio and I have some ideas. I have these mental maps, I color shapes and all that stuff. And I kind of start out trying to find some riffs here and there, and some riffs might point in different direction, and I might place the riffs there and there in this mental map. And at some point, of course, I sit down starting to record. And when I first sit down with my guitar and open, a project in my studio and hit the record button, it takes me from, I would say, from a week to maybe 2 weeks to write one song, roughly about that. I have to admit that the last song on the album, the song Northward, was a song that kind of cracked my head a little bit, because I loved the riffing, I loved everything about it, but there was something that didn't really fall in place in the beginning. So I put that away for a while and just had to revisit it a little bit like that. But otherwise, I don't spend that much time on the writing. However, and that is, I guess, it's my main point, I spend shitloads of time producing, and it's kind of a little bit, the I don't know, it's a say maybe a little bit of the same thing going on. I mean, where should I put the line between, composing and producing, and those things is getting more and more gray in my life. But I spend a lot of time, just trying out different ideas. When I have the frame, when I have the kind of framework of a song, the basic riff and basic arrangement, I spend a lot of time, adding stuff like melodies or harmonies or effects elements or things that you don't really hear but still do something with the sound. There is a lot of that stuff in the new album, things that just make space rather than, just being a solo or something lead stuff going on, you know. So those things, the ambience of the music, the texture of the music, the all the branches, all the leaves of the music is something that I spend shitloads of time on. So I probably, you know, all in all, I probably use like a month on one song if you know, compress it down to yeah, from A to B, so to speak.
And how much, now obviously you live in Norway and huge black metal scene in Norway, you know, some of the bands. Do you take much notice on what's going on, in the black metal scene or the metal scene? And do you take any inspiration from that, or is it just purely what you're feeling?
No, I mean, I don't want to sound like a grumpy old bastard, but I
Please
probably
do.
I am probably that already. I don't know. I can't hide anymore. But no, I don't follow too much, you know, the current scene, to be honest. I mean, of course I see it because I have Facebook and stuff, and you know, it's unavoidable to you know, you get linked because of my connection with the band and everything. You know, I am force fed with you know, new release and stuff like that. But not really. I kind of, since the very early days, I've kind of done my thing, and I'm not the most social guy around, I guess, and you know, all that. I don't seek, you know, I don't know. I've always done my own thing. I mean, it's the best way of putting it, really. And I've always been looking forward, not to the sides or to other what other ones have been doing or backwards, something like that. I've always been kind of guy who is always leaning forward in the name of music, in a sense. So no, I don't really care. Of course, sometimes I spend a half an hour in the morning when in my studio, but just listening through some songs just to get the kind of notion of, you know, where how is the music, how is the production these days, you know, how is the EQ curve of the current, you know, metal releases, because those things changes, you know. It's the metal releases today, even the same type of metal sounds completely different today than, you know, just 10 years ago. So those things I find interesting, but that's more from a kind of, I would almost say, scientific point of view. I kind of try to, you know, what's going on in the world today. I kind of read the news when it comes to metal, in a sense. But you know, I don't really, I can't say I find inspiration there anymore. And if there is any inspiration in my life, you know, it's life. It's my life. It's my this journey that it is. I'm a father. I have a wife. You know, I have a house on the countryside. I spend a lot of time in nature, and you know, that is my inspiration. I think the culmination of all this is my, and of course, I'm a, as I said, I'm a father, and I care about the world. You know, I mean, it kind of it worries me that my daughter and my son have to grow up in this crazy world we are living in, and increasingly so. You know, wars and you know, you have two wars going on now. Basically, we're pretty close to us. And it's horrible. It's just horrible. And then you have the climate crisis that, you know, doesn't seem to stop because of the wars and stuff like that. So it's quite horrible, I would say, these days. Of course, those things also kind of have some inspiration on me, I would say, but still, I'm not going Greenpeace about it, if that makes any sense.
And just coming back to the band, I mean, you've been around for a long time, not to make you sound old or anything, but you know, you have been around, what, must be 30 plus years now.
Yeah, I actually started. I started out with you know, playing around with these ideas about this weird band back in '94,
Okay, 94,
and
right.
I actually got the very first logo for the band in '94. I actually have, that's why I know, because I have the original logo with a little signature and date on it. And I think it was September or something like that, '94. I got the logo. So yeah, I've been in. It's been in the process for a pretty long time. It's 30 years, actually.
And am I right in saying you were signed before you even had any demos done? You just had a band together to show the, you know, the quality of the musicians you had at the time. And obviously, with a band that's been going for 30 years, there are going to be people leaving because, like you said, family or financial reasons or unfortunately the passing of some people. But what I find interesting about Borknagar, I said that right, did I?
Yeah,
Borknagar?
that's fine. That's
Yeah,
fine.
okay. Is there's been a lot of people who have come back into the band. I say a lot. There have been people come back. And I find it interesting that there's something there that keeps bringing these people back round. Is it you? Is it you persuading people, or is there something about the band?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe it's something. I don't know. I've been doing this driving this ship or whatever you want to call it for 30 years, and quite steadily so. I've always been leaning forward and done my stuff and all that. And yeah, it's kind of hard for me to say though, but it's a huge compliment from one of my best friends in this world. It's like from Seaman, the vocalist. What I see at Vortex. You are my
Yeah.
mountain, Øystein. That's what he says. You are my mountain, in a sense. So maybe I don't know. Maybe I and the band, I don't know, is something. We've always been round, me and my mountain, so to speak. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe it's turning become some kind of institution. I don't know, but yeah, I hope that it's because of the musical side of it. Because for me, it's always, I just tell my guys, and I openly says also in interviews, to me, all this starts with music and ends with music. Everything else is secondary to me. I mean, live shows and all that, don't misunderstand. Doing shows and all that is great, of course, and it's a way of income and all that. It's a business side of it. But when it comes to my music, that is kind of my holy grail in this. And the day I don't feel the music anymore, or otherwise, I don't feel motivated or anything like that, everything is done.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if people offer me 1 million euros to do something. I wouldn't do that if it doesn't, suits or fits or, enhance the music somehow. I've said no to so many things the last 30 years, big tours and a lot of stuff, because I've just, now it's not, right thing for us to do musically or something like that. I think that has been some of my, I guess, for better or worse through the years, way of surviving this business for so long, to keep, afloat for so long, that to cling on to this very kind of almost childish excitement of creating music. I mean, that is the holy thing for me. And if anything compromise on that or threatens to take my motivation or kill my, whatever it is, it's no go for me. And likewise with the members in the bands, this is a band where we gather around the music. Everything else is cool and fine and all that, but if you're not invested or involved in the music, you can just fuck off. I mean, it might sound harsh, but that is my kind of rule number one, in a sense.
But I mean, from the outside looking in, though, considering all the departures from the band, they've all seemed quite amicable. Like I don't know the proper ins and outs, but everything I've seen has always been like, we parted on good ways. And I think just going back to your point is like, if you're not enjoying the music and you're not giving 100%, then you have to walk away. If you don't enjoy something, it's time to hang up your guitar or sticks, whatever.
Yep. And sometimes that's rough. I mean, because not everybody in this world is born or, in where I've mentally or physically or whatever it is in fit to do this for 30 years. I don't
Yeah.
expect people to keep on to do this for such a long time, because we all live our lives and we all do music because of, I guess we are all born the same way, but we all have different motivations. We have different goals in life, and all that stuff. So, and I think that, if you join a band because of the, let's say, the fame and the fortune, cool. But that, sorry, Mac, that won't last for a long time, I think, because it's nothing glamorous or glorious about doing a band like this on this level, I mean, we make our decent living and all that, and doing pretty well and all that, can travel around the world and stuff, but it's not anything about glamour, it's a rough life, it's a hard life, it's a bunch of sacrifices every year. I haven't, you know, me and my wife have been talking about having a honeymoon for 25 years. We're still kind of on hold, you know. Last year I had 2 weeks of vacation together with my family. That's all. And for the rest of the year, I mean, every single fucking day of the year, I've been working, either here in my studio or on the road or something like that. So it's tough. And I think, you know, sometimes journalists ask me, you know, do you have any, you know, for new bands and stuff? Do you know, have good advice and stuff like that? And it's like, of course, you have to find your own kind of musical identity and believe in it. But you have to be willing to sacrifice that. But because you cannot do this if you just choose to hang on a pub drinking beer with your pals every Friday, that doesn't work. It's you have to really, really work, and you have to really sacrifice. I have to be willing to sacrifice, and you know, that's what it is, really.
And I think maybe people are realizing now that, the days of getting massive record deals, like, back with Metallica, Ozzy Osbourne, and those bands, that's not there anymore. And bands, like you said, really have to put in a phenomenal shift and be determined. And I think that's credit to yourselves and the band, going for 30 plus years, that you have that drive to keep going. And after 12 albums, 30 years, you've come up with something like this, which is, like I said, I was blown away when I listened to it. It was like listening to a new band. Like, it was so fresh, and you really put your heart and soul into it. So, I mean, that's just more of a point onto the album. But yeah, things have changed.
Thank you so much, Dr. Matt. I mean, it means really a lot to hear that. And yeah, it's for us, it's a hardship, but also I don't want, you know, make it too pessimistic in a sense either, because I've been doing this for such a long time that, you know, I'm grown up guy now. I'm soon 49, and you know, I also have a more laid back, you know, what can I say? Approach to the whole thing now. I don't care too much about the small things anymore. You know, back in the day, I could freak out and be depressed in 2 weeks because of wrong in the booklet or something, a mistake in the booklet or something like that. These days, you know, I don't care. I see the press releases going out, and you know, it's entirely misunderstood, and it's like, ah, what the fuck? It doesn't matter, you know. You know, in the big scope of things. So that's maybe some of the beauty when growing older, that I feel that I can lean more back and spend more time on, you know, being creative, rather than, you know, using a lot of energy on stuff that doesn't really matter anymore, at least to me. So it's you know, it's a beauty and beast thing, as everything in life, I guess. It's a lot of sacrifice, but also, you know, at this point of time in my career, it's much of it is very kind of it's me, you know. It's me. It's nothing that I have to put on, or I have to force on me, or try to do, or anything like that. It's just me. I'm a musician. This is what I do, you know. So it's a lot of sacrifice, but it also worth it, I would say.
I've got one more question, if you don't mind. I've
Yeah.
taken up plenty of your evening, so I'm just curious now, with with 12 albums in and touring, and whether it's a headline show or a festival show, is it getting more difficult to put set lists together, or
No, I don't think so, because there were so many songs. The difficulties is really to, you know, to satisfy everybody. But you know, at this point in my career, I kind of already learned that, you know, I can't do that anyway. I mean, since the second album we did, people was pointing back on the debut and say, hey, the debut was better than that's how it rolls. So you know, I kind of realized that I can't satisfy everybody anyway. But I think that for us as a band, it's cool, because we have a bunch of songs, and we try to, you know, single out the songs that we enjoy playing first and foremost, because I think that shines true. If you play a song that you enjoy playing, that's something, you know, the audience will notice. And of course, we keep an ear and eye to, you know, what people, you know, react on songs when we do live, and you know, people asking about songs when we're doing live and meeting people and all that. So we try to blend, you know, make a set list that, you know, gives people a little bit of a glimpse into our musical world in a sense. And hopefully we please as many people as possible, but I know that we don't want to please everybody.
You never, there's always going to be someone complaining, you know?
Yeah,
So
always.
you can't win. Oyston, it's been such a pleasure chatting to you. Thank you so much for your time, man. And maybe if my way up to Bergen, I'll give you a shout and you can show me the local countryside and the mountains where all this was inspired. I'd love to do that.
Indeed.
But listen, congratulations on the album. It's a wonderful piece of art, and I wish you all the best with the future tours and the next album, which I'm already looking forward to.
Thank you so much, man, and thank you for having me. And yeah, thank you for listening to all this.
Thanks for being here. I'll see you next time.
All right, take care, man. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.